Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
I'm here to help.
On August 21st,
we have a story.
Mutiny arrives on the big screen.
Who are you?
It is, trust me.
Jason Statham stars in the action movie to end your summer.
What do you want?
Vengeance.
Mutiny. Rated R.
To infinity and beyond.
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
That is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my new friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is... failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
You hit our son.
Happy birthday, Polly.
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 142. Jeff Lowe, Ken Jack, Trill, and joined by our good friend, our Barstool Sports co-worker, Large, Mr. At Large Barstool on Twitter. How are you doing besides the fact that you just told us you might have strep throat?
I'm doing well. So just the voice is a little bit jacked up, but we're going to we'll power through this like Shazam.
Exactly. Yeah. Are we recording?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, okay. Sorry.
I just intro you.
No, I'm going to start doing that now to throw you off, Jeff.
Okay. Yeah, Trill actually just informed Large that Jim Henson died of strep throat and to make sure he gets antibiotics. So
yeah, but it was just trying to be helpful, like saying like that True. Shit's serious. You got to go get it checked out. He develops into pneumonia. That's something that, I encourage is whenever you have that sore throat, just go get the swab. Get it swabbed up.
I don't mind gagging on that little stick for a little while, so I'm probably going to go tomorrow morning.
Ken Jack and I were talking about this. So there's a big scientific discovery today. A picture of what appears to be a black hole or an approximation of a picture. I don't really know, but it prompted us into another discussion. How come when you fart into the bathtub, it smells so bad?
That's a question based off the black hole.
We got there. We had our own scientific breakthrough based off our own experiences.
We were just kind of just the scientific method took us down this path and we just got to that and we just didn't know how to answer it.
I don't know.
I know that liquid, specifically saliva, amplifies smells. That's why dogs often lick something before they smell it.
Mm.
So it could be something for that, right?
We're just solving the scientific problems today.
Yeah,
it smells just as bad in the shower, though. Not even just in the bath.
I'll do more legwork on it. I gotta be honest. I'm not prepared for this.
Yeah, we're like, go see Shazam. Also, study up flatulence and water.
Somebody on a Reddit's going to be like, a biochemical engineer here. Actually, the methane produced interacts with the water.
That would make sense.
Just like how we now pronounce it properly, La. Though they said La Llorona, but the fucking trailer says La Llorona.
That's what I ate before I farted in the tub.
Yeah, I don't know. Just going off that. Okay, so we're reviewing Shazam today, as Large alluded to. We're also going to be ranking top five worst comic movie costumes. We'll definitely talk about Shazam's costume, whether it makes anyone's list or not. I guess remains to be seen. Next week, we're going to be reviewing Hellboy, which, Hellboy reviews dropped about an hour before this pod. We started recording it, and we'll get into it. There, it's surprising. Anything before we move on, Trill? We know Large is sick. Ken Jack's going away. I'm going to a wedding in Austin. Trill, what about you? What do you got on tap for this weekend, or anything going on?
I got something that if we're not doing video games, I bought Trill something just now. It's called a Dakimakura. If you don't know what it is, look it on up. It's he's gonna love it.
I know what it is. I don't have fun anymore. I'm just at that phase in my life. I do have fun. It's just probably not fun to our listeners. You know, they're having fun. They're going out. They're hanging out with their friends. Like my fun now is watching my baby crawl around on a floor that I keep thinking I probably should vacuum that. No reaction. Okay. All right.
That's dad life, I guess. I mean, I don't know that.
I'll keep working on my material. That's fine. I'll keep working on it. All right. This is a work in progress. I don't have to be funny every show. Okay. Maybe this is a down show for me. That's why we bring on a guest.
Will you still be doing that after you have your Dakimakura or no?
I think I'll be more like comforted after I have that. Mm. I'll be more at ease. It's a body pillow, by the way, is what Ken Jack's talking about.
An anime body pillow, very specifically.
Well, we have a lot of news to get into, but let me do an ad read real quick. This episode brought to you in part by HelloFresh. HelloFresh, they send massive boxes to the office of food. Probably the biggest boxes we get, right? They're huge. It's like 100 pounds of food in each box. It's a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients so you can just cook, eat, and enjoy. HelloFresh makes conquering the kitchen a reality with deliciously simple recipes. HelloFresh does all the meal planning, shopping, and prepping so you can focus on a healthier you and happier family. Get seasonal, simple recipes and pre-measured ingredients delivered right to your door every week. HelloFresh, fantastic, easy to use. Don't have to order out, waste all your money on delivery services, which I probably can't mention by name. You just go home, cook it up real quick, ingredients ready to go. Great fresh food. For $80 off your first month of HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com/lights80. Go to HelloFresh.com/lights80 and enter lights80. It's like receiving 6 free meals, basically. You get $20 off your first 4 boxes. Fantastic. HelloFresh, thanks for sponsoring. Let's kick it off. The Lion King. Brand new trailer, surprise drop this morning. We're recording on Wednesday the 10th. It's 100 days until The Lion King comes out. You either see people going, this is fucking awesome, nostalgia city, or they're being cynical and saying this is retread garbage, which I can see the sides to both. I'm not as moved by this as some people are. I don't know why. And I think it's because there's not as much nostalgia in this one as there was in the Circle of Life trailer. Would you agree with that, Trill?
I liked it, but it wasn't for nostalgia reasons. I thought the animals looked really well done. I was very impressed with how Scar looked. It was nice to get that voiceover. But, Circle of Life had a lot of nostalgia, but this one did too. You heard Mufasa speaking in that deep James Earl Jones voice. You saw Timon and Pumbaa. You didn't get to hear him singing Hakuna Matata, but they did the Lion Sleeps Tonight at the end. So I think it checked off the boxes for me. I rather liked it, especially coming out of Dumbo. It reminded you of maybe what the positive side of remakes could be.
Is it going to be a shot by shot remake? Is that it, or is it going to be Dumbo, like another Dumbo type thing where they're going to go in a different direction? There's not much you can do with this, right?
Yeah, it's like Dumbo.
Okay. Yeah, I have no need to see this. My kids aren't that excited about it, to be honest with you, because they are 14 and down, so they don't remember the original one. So I don't know. I don't have a tremendous amount of nostalgia because I'm 47, so I was an adult when I saw the first one. So it's just not like a fond memory for me, to be honest. Like Dumbo was, because Dumbo was such an old movie. I actually saw it when I was a kid. Like when this first one was out, I was already above the Lion Age, demographic mm-hmm. for it. So this movie does nothing for me, to be quite honest with you.
Did you like the Dumbo remake?
No, I didn't go see it just because I heard how terrible it was.
Oh yeah. It wasn't great. It wasn't great. It was kind of a mess. Yeah, I can totally feel that. I feel like what they're banking off of here, and it's smart because the voice cast is so talented, but just everyone that's in the voice cast, right? Donald Glover, you got Beyonce, then you got Seth Rogen. Who are some of the other? I mean, obviously you have a few returning ones. Billy Eichner. And I think that's really good. I think there's a lot of star power behind this movie. And it's also like, I really do feel like the demographic they're going for are people my age who it came out in 94. I was 10 years old when I saw it. I'm 34 now. I have a child who are going to take their children to the movie and, get them rehooked on The Lion King. And, we've talked about that before. It's kind of the circle of life in terms of nostalgia. But I've never been like, I love The Lion King, but it's not like I see this trailer and cry. I don't have like those kind of memories associated with The Lion King.
But I've seen that, right? Like one of the girls in our office, Liz, she said she was crying during the trailer. So like 94 puts me at 23 when I saw it. So I was drunk. I had hair. I had abs. So it just doesn't do it for me. This Dr. Macora thing is got me twisted now, because now I'm going through how many they offer. It's a pretty good heads up, Ken Jack.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Dr. Macora, it might be a life changer for me.
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah. You're a little buffer between you and the missus. Like, you just get your little anime baby between you guys. It's a nice little threesome you get going on.
You got hip problems? You just put a pillow underneath your legs and kind of straighten out your hips.
They have a Captain America, Dr. Macora, with his shirt off and stuff. I swear
holy
to God.
Shit.
Yeah, Steve Rogers kind of kicked back. And the first one, because there's two sides to it. So the first one, he still has the Captain America outfit on. And the second side, it's almost totally off him. It's pretty erotic. I kind of like this.
God damn. I need the Miss Honey one.
Yeah.
From Matilda.
It's a good show for me so far. Thank you.
Wait, so, Ken Jack, you were born the year The Lion King came out, right? 94?
Yeah, 93. Close enough.
Like, do you have strong attachments to The Lion King as a property?
Yeah. Actually, the first toy I remember owning is a Lion King themed cassette player. And it was that too. It was just a Nala. It was a Dr. Macura with Nala on it. It was a Lion King themed cassette player that had the Lion King soundtrack that came with it. And like, you could sing on it with a tiny microphone. And boy, I was belting out those tunes. I thought the trailer was good. Trill hit most of the major points for me, and that the new voice cast is probably the most exciting thing. And I think we're having James Earl Jones return is a very, very smart move. Pumped up for it. I can't wait to see the dynamic between Seth Rogen and Eichner, and also good old what's his name, John Oliver as well.
The one last thing on this. The other thing is because Favreau's behind it, and I went into the Jungle Book not expecting to like it, and I ended up liking it. Hmm. So I have a lot of faith in what the actual product's going to be, just based on his track record. And we were talking also last night on group chat, and Ken Jack and I concluded that the most Jon Favreau appearance in media is in I Love You, Man.
Yes.
That is peak Fav.
It's a good take. Very good take. But there is one more thing I want to talk about, though. The big thing that trended besides the trailer today was that Chiwetel Ejiofor is playing the villain, Scar, but it's no longer Jeremy Irons voicing the character, and a lot of people were upset about that. Do you agree on that? And this is mostly for, Large, you don't care as much. I don't care as much. Do either of you care, Ken Jack and Trill,
that it's not Jeremy Irons? I didn't know that. I don't care. I like it. It's fine. The main thing about Scar, the main Scar related thing, is apparently they're not doing the Be Prepared number.
They're not.
So what? They're gonna have new stuff.
Yeah, but I like that number. It was a catchy tune.
I think it worked probably a little bit because of Jeremy Irons, and I think that it's going to be better.
Yeah.
Irons is a really, really good, prolific voice. He's had some stinker movies in the last, like 7-8 years. And I think that, I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name, Ejiofor, I think he's a boss, and I like his voice a lot.
Chiwetel.
He's been in great movies.
Just one thing. I mean, it feels like the wait for this movie has been longer than a CVS receipt.
Folks, let me tell you. Let me be clear.
So there's actually a guy on Twitter, Walt Hickey, and there's a guy that he tweeted. I forget his name. We'll go into it further another point. They brought up that there are actually industry insiders that think Lion King might beat Avatar.
What?
Yep.
Yeah, zero chance.
No. There's industry insiders, ticket insiders, who think that the movie actually does have a chance to, one, beat Endgame. They're like, this movie might gross more than Endgame because worldwide it might just do insane numbers as well. And the cast behind it. I mean, think about just the Beyonce power behind it. And that there are people within the movie industry who are pretty confident this movie is going to for sure be top five of all time, and maybe even higher. Because it also has one of the best runways of any movie all year long. It's all trash after it. Let me just read off movies that are coming out after it. I don't think so, but I'm also not an insider, so I'm not going to completely say that they're wrong when I just don't know. But the movies coming out after it are pretty terrible. And one of the biggest things with movie making money, as we mentioned before, is that, I mean, you know, shit movies come out after it, it's the only thing people are going to see. And obviously this is going to be a pretty, it seems like this will be a rewatchable movie. You got the No Competition the first week, and then you have Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which will do well, but that movie's, it's not going to make $1 billion.
Completely different audience, too.
I mean, Hobbs and Shaw will make money, but it's not going to be like one of the episodic Fast and Furious. Then Artemis Fowl, it's going to blow Artemis Fowl out of the water. Then Angry Birds 2, it's not going to do anything. It's going to kill that. And then it's about five, six weeks of just kind of ho-hum movies after a big summer. So I can understand the idea. So just a crazy thing thrown out at me. Figured I'd mention that. Avengers Endgame. Speaking of ticket sales, this is a movie that I'm actually now beginning to think might beat Avatar. It made five times the amount of money, or sold five times the amount of tickets, rather, which I guess is almost the same thing, than Infinity War did on Fandango in its first week. That's fucking insane. That's five times the amount of Infinity War tickets. That's crazy.
What do you think? I'm trying to ask, like, what's creating this hype? But it almost seems self-explanatory, right? Like, the first movie came out, it's a cliffhanger, and now a lot more people are into it. End of story. But five times seems unbelievable. I mean, I believe it, but it's that's a huge number.
And like, I don't know, Kenjig, you can maybe give some thoughts here. Game of Thrones, I feel like a lot of people got into Game of Thrones because they didn't want to be left out. Like, they wanted to talk about it. I think Infinity War had the same thing. I think people didn't want to be left out talking about this movie. And that's why there are people who haven't been on board since Iron Man who are now interested in Endgame.
Yeah, for sure. It's just they want to be part of the cultural conversation, and like, they want to know like what's going on in the control world, a cultural lexicon. They want to understand everything, and that goes with everything. Like, the reason I started watching like The Bachelor is because I wanted to understand what people on Twitter were talking about. The reason I wanted to like understand, even when I was a kid watching Star Wars, I didn't watch Star Wars because I was the most diehard sci-fi fan. I just wanted to know what like my parents are talking about, what my friends are talking about. That's just like a big part of it. And I think in this case, because it's such a worldwide phenomenon, that is just that's going to be a deciding factor in how much hype it gets.
Did you get your tickets, Large?
So, you know, I'm still going to do that that Monday at the Dolby one that I like, and there's still plenty of tickets left for that Monday. Mm. So remember, we were looking together to see it, and it's still plenty left. So I'm going to yank the kids out of school to go see it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like I'm going to have no problems.
Awesome. You should do what happened to PFT on opening day when he was a kid. His dad said that he was taking him to see like whatever the Nationals, I think. And he got in the car, and then his dad said like, no, I'm just kidding. You go back to school. So he made him get back out and go back to class.
Oh, that's perfect. But like,
do they know they're out of school, Large, or are you going to surprise them on that day?
Well, I pull them out quite a bit. Okay. So it doesn't really matter. Like I'm not a big fan of school. I'm just kidding. Totally kidding.
I don't know. I pull out all the time.
But like, back to your point, though, don't you think that the reason people are seeing Avengers is because they're going to be left out of a conversation? I don't see that happening with Lion King. What is Lion King going to – like, everyone knows the story. It's going to be
very
few – like, I think that's an absurd claim that it's going to beat Avengers or beat Avatar or beat even Titanic. And maybe I'm just old. Maybe it just doesn't appeal to me for some reason.
That's a good point. And like, it's crazy to me. Like, I'm not going to totally discount it because, again, I'm assuming they know more than me, but you're right. I don't see that appeal. True.
Yeah. I think like maybe what I can see with Lion King is that the net cast is just so large, mm-hmm. but you get to a certain point and you got to rely on people coming back to the theater and seeing it. I mean, that's what people did with Titanic. I remember like kids in my grade were going to see that movie four or five times. That's what people did with Avatar. I don't know if they'll do that with Lion King. Like, what I can see is like, you know, the Beehive is crazy and very loyal and behind Beyonce, and maybe they'll get behind it and buy tickets. Like, Taylor Swift fans have been known to gas up her album sales just by buying multiple copies of the same album, just so they can get their like fandom, the bragging rights for biggest artists ever. So I do think it has that power behind it. And I think that's a good thing because that's a little, you know, that's interesting. It has like an interesting edge to it, but it Lion King will not capture the national conversation in the same way that Avengers has the last year, in the same way Avengers Endgame will. So I don't know. I don't see Lion King like getting anywhere close to Avatar, but I'm also not an industry insider or expert.
They should have cast Beyonce as Black Widow. Oh my God. Fucking world would have blew up.
Jesus Christ. It makes $3 billion. Yeah. Avengers Endgame.
That's what people did with The Star Is Born too, right? Yeah. Like, the Lady Gaga has a much smaller fan base, but they're pretty loyal and they're buying multiple A Star Is Born tickets. And you know, I don't think it really I mean, it made a lot of money, but it didn't put it anywhere near the stratosphere of like what this is going. I did, just as an anecdote, like I did go in person to my theater to buy the tickets, and the line was wrapped around the block, around the movie theater, and like almost like in rows in the parking lot, Jeff. It was longer than a CVS receipt.
Oh, folks, you guys can't see it, but I'm doing the golf swing forward trail right now.
Jeff mentioned he doesn't like CVS receipt jokes. So. Okay.
They rule. They're all amazing.
Great. let's move on. Actually, I will say there was a new clip release. We didn't have to get into that. I think at this point we're almost burned out on how much more Avengers marketing we can talk about, because it just comes out. It comes out in like 2 weeks. It's like 4 or 5 episodes from now. We did put out a blog, though, about what movies you should see if you haven't seen any Marvel movies before Endgame. I'll read off our top 8, because I feel like there's a perfect amount with 8 out of the 21. We had Avengers Infinity War, Avengers, Captain America Civil War, Guardians of the Galaxy, Thor Ragnarok, Doctor Strange, Ant-Man and the Wasp. And then if you did want to see all Avengers, Avengers Age of Ultron. But we landed with Doctor Strange and Ant-Man and the Wasp not being as vital as seeing the character development in Thor Ragnarok for Thor and Hulk, because they're going to explain the quantum realm in Endgame. Only one character is alive who knows the quantum realm. That's Ant-Man. He's going to have to explain it to the Avengers. They're going to explain it in this movie. And plus, I assume they would just do that for the audiences anyway. But I think the first four, very important. So that's just, if you haven't watched the Avengers movies or the end Marvel movies overall, that's a good way to catch up. Shazam news. It's getting a sequel in Black Adam, the Rock movie. They're going to be filming in the next 2 years. We're going to talk about that, though, after our review. So we're going to save that. Godzilla. There was a Godzilla IMAX preview before Shazam, and it was fucking insane. Large, you actually saw it. Full disclosure, we found a leaked version of it, and I showed you the leaked version, and then you watched the IMAX version. It's a 5-minute extended preview of this movie. They play Nessun and Dorma. It's fucking incredible.
Yeah, I don't know why. Like, I told you I was going to go see the IMAX version, and you still showed me that piece of shit. So I got to see it, but I got to see it like there was a guy walked by with popcorn. There were people like dry humping. It was such a fucking, such a bummer that I saw that piece of shit version on your PC and then went to the IMAX and kind of knew what was going on. I would have loved to have had that wonderment of seeing it for the first time, and you totally ruined it. I mean, the movie looks great because it seems like they're concentrating on the monsters, which is kind of old school, back to when you used to watch it on Saturday mornings on like WPIX. So I'm really looking forward to it. I don't know how crazy I am about anybody in the cast, but I'm really looking forward to seeing the monsters, like real old school type shit. Taking all my kids. I had 3 kids in the theater when I went to go see Shazam. Man, I sound like shit. And my kids were very, very excited about this Godzilla movie, all 3 of them.
That's interesting, because Godzilla is one of those things where it's such a legacy thing. It doesn't remind me exactly of the Dark Universe, but in that same sense where like its success was years ago, mm-hmm. and they're still trying to recreate it. But it seems like people are hyped about this, and I think you're right, and I'll let Kenja control. You guys can talk about it. They focused on Godzilla. And I actually didn't hate the previous Godzilla, but there was a lot of focus on the humans, where this one, this seems like a lot of monsters. Like, it's monsters and destruction.
I think that Godzilla and giant monsters duking it out with each other, that's infinitely more interesting than whatever invisible man they want to trot out. Like, they weren't. Kevin Bacon tried it in Hollow Man, didn't work so well. And it's just, yeah, there's something timeless about having a gigantic dragon lizard fight a moth. It just translates over to generations and generations.
Yeah, I can't watch any Godzilla stuff without thinking of that Chappelle Show skit where like he fights Godzilla. You know what I'm talking about?
Dump in the volcano.
Yes, exactly. And he fucks the volcano too, I think.
Yeah, I think he does. Right. Yeah, that's right.
It's such a funny skit. But yeah, this is a sick trailer. Are we allowed to talk about what happened, or are we saving that for the people who are still watching?
It was a long trailer. Jeff said 5 minutes. I mean, it was almost longer than a CVS receipt.
Oh, you fucker. I knew it was coming.
Almost.
I knew it.
I think people are sick of like the Pacific Rims, where they have giant robots like battling other type shit. Like Monster to Monster is going to be something we haven't seen in a while. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's
the only thing the movie, yeah, the only thing the movie needs is maybe like Beyonce. Yeah. Bump up those fucking sales.
She's the voice of Ghidorah. What's the other one? I forget.
Ghidorah.
Ghidorah. Yeah.
She could play Black Widow.
Yeah.
And, like a crossover.
I don't think we're spoiling anything.
Okay. I was going to say, why'd the humans free King Ghidorah? Like, what was the thought process there in that little part of the trailer?
Vera Farmiga seems like a bad guy, folks.
Is she the mom of Billy Ray Cyrus, whatever her name is? Billy Bobby Brown?
Millie Bobby Brown.
You're getting really working closer. Your way there.
Old Town Road. I'm gonna.
Yeah, it looks like.
What's another Billy Ray Cyrus song you like?
Party in the Front. No, it's the other way. It's Party in the Back. Business in the Front.
That's you don't all. Remember his most famous song? Don't Tell My Heart.
Well, yeah, Achy Breaky Heart.
Yeah,
that one I know. It's not song. As good as Old Town Road, though.
No, it's definitely not.
Just not. It's a fact.
It does seem like that's her mom, and then her dad is played by Kyle Chandler, is what I would assume the case is.
Yeah, I pretty lucky role. So. A lot of people have wanted Kyle Chandler to be their daddy.
That's very true. People do say, Kyle Chandler, call me daddy.
It's a big fact.
Yeah, call him daddy.
He gives that Glockaclon 5,000 or whatever.
very cool. I enjoyed Shazam. We'll get into it, but the Godzilla trailer stuck out to me more than anything that night. I can't believe how excited I am for this. Let's move on to Space Jam 2. Ryan Coogler doing rewrites of Space Jam 2. This movie does not seem like it's getting off the ground very well. We talked about the LeBron James issue the other day. Since then, Giannis Antetokounmpo turned him down. Does not want to be in the movie. Apparently, there's issues with like shoe contracts in the movie. It's a fucking mess.
And I think I even said in the last podcast they should get someone like Giannis.
You and did.
Straight up said no 2 days later. That makes me look like an idiot.
Yeah, you fucked it up. What if they all just wear etnies?
That's a happy compromise, honestly.
They all wear Osiris shoes, those giant sneakers with the huge tongues.
They wear Keds.
Oh, that'd be fun. This script, it's going to end up being so long, like the longest script maybe ever, right?
Yeah, almost longer than a CVS receipt.
Somebody make the somebody on the Reddit make that gif of LeBron or D-Wade throwing the alley-oop to LeBron for that
one. Just what happened last night with Magic Johnson like affect your perception of this movie now? Because it kind of does for me.
But like in what sense?
Like, I almost feel like this movie caused Magic Johnson to resign. Like, he knew it was going to be so bad, and he just didn't want to be anywhere involved in it. Don't you think that's a theory?
I think it's a very real theory. Read in what you said, Jeff, that they're going to try and concentrate a little less on the basketball and a little more on the relationship between LeBron and the young lady that they cast as his wife or something. Yeah, and that's what this movie needs. But I think what a coup it would be for them to cast Zion, like coming right out of college and put him right into fucking Space Jam.
That would be cool.
That would put fucking asses in the seats in a heartbeat. You know, they say like Durant has no interest in it. Obviously, Giannis has said that he's going to, you know, not do it. But you put Zion in this thing, I'm going to go see it.
I haven't even thought about that. That's a pretty good idea. And you can almost raise it like a apprentice type thing. I don't know totally their relationship, but I assume LeBron wants to be his friend.
For now.
Your kids, Large, are they interested in this movie? Because obviously they're still young, and this movie is a super 90s nostalgia movie.
Yeah, my kid's a high school basketball player. He's not very good, but he's a serviceable high school basketball player. And he's excited. And his friends talked about it when it was first rumored. You know, to be shooting and all that stuff. And they've been kind of keeping up, like, who do you think's in it? Who do you think's not going to be in it? So this one does have a little bit of steam in my house. We'll probably go see it. They went to go see, like, Uncle Drew when it first came out, like that type of stuff. That's a seminal piece of art. And so I think they're also interested in this more than it would be The Lion King.
It's devastating news for that one guy at every pickup game that wears a Toon Squad full jersey.
The guy who wears the Toon Squad jersey at Coachella. Can't ever go back to Coachella wearing his Toon Squad jersey after this movie bombs. I'm still going to hold out hope for this. I don't want to say it's a stinker, but the lack of involvement from NBA players seems like an issue because that's one of the things you want out of Space Jam. And then also just script rewrites. It could end up being good. you know, LeBron moved to LA to film this movie is what it seems like, among other reasons, just one of the reasons.
But I think to your point, like nobody walked away from the president of basketball operations with the Chicago Bulls. Nobody walked away from a chance to do Space Jam 1. And then you talk about the comparisons between Michael Jordan and LeBron. This is definitely something that I think hurts LeBron's fucking legacy, that he can't get anybody to sign up for this thing. People are like, you know, fighting to be in Space Jam 1 when MJ was attached to it. And this isn't the case with fucking LeBron.
How'd John Bradley even get in there? Ryan Coogler, you know, has to be so pissed off too, right? Because he had like the chance to be in this franchise, which like immediately almost anybody wants to say yes, right? Mm-hmm. Like that should be like a no thought, like, yeah, for sure. But like there's obviously a lot of technical problems with this, and just the way the NBA is as a business right now, it's got to be really hard. Not even just the shoe contracts, but we talked about it on a Big If True, like that kind of clash of personalities. Jordan was like the clear-cut alpha of the end of the whole NBA in the 90s, and like LeBron is not really the best player in the NBA right now as it is, and like other players want them to be like the center of attention, and like they're not going to be in cameo roles like the other players were in the first Space Jam.
Yeah, I don't know, I still think Magic read that script and he's just like, I'm out of here,
I'm gone.
That's not good.
That's the reason why
the script is longer than a CVS receipt.
We already said it.
It's a callback.
You already made that one.
A callback.
The script almost.
Oh, no. You might have to.
That's getting cut. That one.
That's just a beep. That's a beep. Never forget Ken Jack with the Parkinson's joke.
I forgot about that.
Wait.
For new listeners, there was no Parkinson's joke.
Yes,
that's the joke. The joke is that
it was Ken Jack. Was Ken Jack talking about Alzheimer's? No,
I forget what I even said. I said like pussy or something, and we bleeped it out. And like they're like, oh, Ken Jack's making fun of people with Parkinson's. Like, no, dude, I said pussy. Like, relax. Like, it's just for the effect of the joke.
I like how we like bleep out that word, but then just replace it with a B and it's acceptable.
Yeah. Oh, bussy.
the kind of swear word you can bring home to mom.
Speaking of bussy, this little Easter egg, we have insane news next week. That's all I'm going to say. The Addams Family teaser for the Addams Family animated movie. Just two more pieces of news, by the way. Pretty big voice cast here.
Huge.
Oscar Isaac. Yeah. Charlize Theron, Chloe Grace Moretz, Finn Wolfhard, who is in everything. Nick Kroll, Bette Midler, Allison Janney, Elsie Fisher. Would you boo Bette Midler?
Yeah, fuck Bette Midler. Did you see what she tweeted?
What'd she tweet?
She tweeted out like basically this tirade like, fuck comic book movies. All their scripts suck and they're terrible.
Why did she tweet that?
This is like maybe 4 days ago or something like that. Fuck Bette Midler. All the best movie rain was in fucking that stupid Halloween Town bullshit. Fuck you. And you did that terrible performance at the Oscars? Fuck off, Bette Midler.
Dude, this is a very strong anti-Bette Midler rant. She's been an American icon for 40 years.
You know what? There's a lot of American icons out there that have been canceled, and I'm adding Bette Midler to that list for me.
Broadway legend Bette Midler?
Yeah, she's on the list for me.
Star of Hocus Pocus?
Yeah, Hocus Pocus she was in. Rest in peace to...
filmography longer than a CVS receipt.
Oh, fuck you. It's not even a good pick for that. Do Nick Cage for that or something.
Rest in peace to Debbie Reynolds, who was in Halloween Town. But she drags Marvel movies. Yeah, she would do a comic book movie.
Oh, she absolutely would. Who wouldn't do it? Who wouldn't get that paycheck, that Marvel paycheck?
Beyonce.
So lucrative.
That's true.
We dare you, Beyonce. We dare you.
Little do people know, large is Beyonce's publicist, just trying to get her job, just always trying to work in a gig.
The Beehive, yeah.
I didn't like this Addams Family trailer, Jeff.
Neither did I
didn't like the stylization of it, and it's very close to the original comics that appeared in the New Yorker, a magazine that I have never read. It's very much like those. I thought Gomez, when I think of Gomez, I think of Raul Julia. Okay. Like that's my mental image of Gomez. So to see Gomez basically looking like the South Park character in this was very disorienting to me. The only thing, I mean, I'm not a big Addams Family fan, first off. The only thing I really liked about this is I think Nick Kroll's doing his high school gym teacher voice from Big Mouth as Uncle Fester in this movie. So that's pretty cool.
Gomez kind of looked like Big Hero 6 or something. He had like this really big outward shape and that tiny ass head.
He looked like the Pringles guy.
I didn't like that look at all.
I liked it. I liked the look of it. And like you're saying, from the original New Yorker magazine, which I didn't read either. And but it kind of has that like Hotel Transylvania feel for me. This one does. And that agreed with me for some reason. So I'm looking forward to this. I'm going to take the kids.
I hear you. I let me tell you why I think I don't like it. When I was growing up and I was watching Nickelodeon, about 6 o'clock every night, it would switch over to Nick at Night. And I went from watching wondrous Nickelodeon programming like Salute Your Shorts and Hey Dude to watching whatever old TV show they were showing. And the only one I really liked was I Love Lucy, but Addams Family would come on and it creeped me out as a kid. It scared me and it scarred me. And I'm a little fearful of the Addams Family. Just full admission. They're too creepy and kooky for me.
I only have two notes on it. And number one is I've never watched the Addams Family ever. So it brings no nostalgia to me. But I know that it is like a hard thing for some people. Number two, you know what it did remind me of? And Trill, you'll appreciate this. It reminded me of Elvira. I don't know if she has any relation to this universe at all. No. But it reminded me of Elvira. And
Elvira pinball machine's an all-time classic exactly. Institution.
And if those big old milkers. All right, I'll be right back.
If you've never played an Elvira machine by Bally, I suggest you try it out. It's a delightful pinball experience.
Well, I think Elvira and Morticia both have that same macabre, masturbatory feel to them for like a kid who grew up around that time. I don't remember. I think the Addams Family was probably late 60s, the TV show.
And then early
70s, I started watching the reruns. So I watched it religiously. I've probably seen every one of them. I didn't see any of the iterations. Like, you know, Adam's Family Values and stuff. When my kids watch them, like DVDs inside the car and stuff like that. But so this is one that I can actually get behind, I think.
The original Adam's Family, the New Yorker cartoon, was a satire of just a polar opposite of a American family at that time. Like, because they're just so macabre and weird. Yeah. So it's interesting that it like translated from that into like a gigantic media franchise that had a Super Nintendo game from the movie where you
really?
Were Gomez. Yeah, yeah. A Super Nintendo game and you could play as Gomez. And
what do you do?
It was one of those platformers where you probably just jumped around fighting vacuum cleaners. Like, you always fought a vacuum cleaner in those games. Just threw some lighters at somebody. I don't know. Those games all stunk. When people talk about like nostalgia of video games, they're really only talking about like 17 games.
Jeff, I'm sure you've seen this review from the Angry Video Game Nerd, but the Bible Games one.
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
That was so fucking funny that game even got made. It's absolutely hilarious. They should release an accompaniment to that. What's that Jesus movie coming out soon? Not that one. The kid getting trapped under the ice one. They should make a
Breakthrough with Chrissy Metz.
Yeah, they should make
that's a come out, right?
They should make a video game with that.
It might be out.
Press X to bash ice.
I want to read the Bette Midler quote real quick because I actually didn't think it was bad until I got to the end, and I actually think it's kind of fucked up. She said, "I don't really enjoy Marvel movies, to tell you the truth. They're unbearably loud. They make such a racket. They don't and I can read this in her voice, which sounds amazing. They don't really have any great, decent dialogue, and there's a lot of explosions. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't really like explosions. I'm not really an action fan. Fine, whatever. This is where she loses me. I think it's something for young men. They like noise." What a ridiculous statement.
Stupid. I'm telling you, fuck this old lady.
So
go
many
buy war bonds.
Of different genders, ages, nationalities like this. This what a ridiculous fucking statement. Oh, young men like this movie. Plenty of people not young men like these movies. That's lunacy, Bette Midler. Very mad. I'm out on Bette Midler.
You are you canceling her? Are you joining me on the cancel Bette Midler team?
Yeah, Bette Midler's canceling this podcast.
Hell yeah.
We're going to get yelled at from our booker tomorrow. Like, hey guys, Bette Midler was going to come on, but now she thinks you guys suck.
You know what, Bette Midler? I don't want you on. Didn't like Hocus Pocus. Didn't care for it one bit. weird movie.
Last but not least, this is a big how much do you care? Hawkeye getting a Disney Plus series. He's going to get a Marvel streaming series. They're doing the Loki one. They're doing the Bucky and Sam Wilson, the Falcon one, and now Hawkeye getting a Disney series. Not sure if it'll be Hawkeye or if it'll be Ronan, his new tattooed Mohawk version in Endgame, but do we care? That's pretty telling.
I'm thinking about whether or not I care.
I don't mind it. I mean, because the platform they're releasing it on, it's not like they're shoving it down our throats for another $19 ticket. So I don't mind this. It might be fun because this is where he passes the torch, right, to the young lady. I think that's kind of a story a lot of people aren't privy to, so might be relatively interesting.
Well, this will cost you extra money because it's going to be on Disney Plus. So you're going to have to pay for Disney Plus in order to see it.
Yeah, but wouldn't that be like, you know, like buying the WWE channel type thing? Like, you're going to get a shitload for it. It's not like anyone's going to buy Disney Plus just for Hawkeye, right?
We made fun of Hawkeye, I think, once from the LCB Twitter, and people were mad. Oh, they were big mad and big supportive of Hawkeye.
I mean, but if you do buy Disney Plus, you'll get Hawkeye, you'll get the Bucky, whatever. You'll also get the Loki thing. Like, it seems like you're getting more bang for your buck. Or is that not
true? That's a really long list of shows, actually. Really long list.
How long is it, Ken Jack?
You tell me, my friend.
Could be longer than a CVS receipt.
This is now, your best bit.
I'm with Large on that. I think it holds value as something that you find on the Disney Channel when you're bored, or the Disney streaming service when you're bored and you watch through it. And I like Jeremy Renner, so it'd be good to have some more Jeremy Renner in my life. I like his presence. He was the best part of the movie we were talking about last week, right?
Wind River, I don't know.
The house.
Oh.
He got his arm cut off. He's the bad guy.
I remember that.
The house, not very memorable for me.
He was in the house, wasn't he?
I thought it was Nick Kroll.
Did you guys ever see Arrow, the WB show? Yeah, I was going to say, people love Arrow. I might just start watching Arrow instead of the fucking Hawkeye show.
Yeah, people really like Arrow.
I don't own a Cookie Monster hat, so I don't watch the WB.
Cookie Monster flat brim. I don't want people thinking it's a trucker hat.
What happened to Hawkeye to make him like a tattooed spiky hair Ronin? Like, did he spend like one semester abroad in Ibiza?
Mm. Good question. Cancun once.
All right. That's news. A lot of good news. We're going to talk about this.
Long news.
Going to talk about this.
Hey, long news.
I almost responded, but I didn't. Hey, what's it longer than, Trill?
I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
What's last name?
We're going to talk about Stuber, but we don't have time. So we'll talk about that Sunday or something.
I'll tell you what's a disappointment. When I saw those previews before Shazam, I had seen the Hellboy preview and I was hooked.
They had
a dark version of Smoke on the Water, like playing in the background, like an old Deep Purple song. And I liked Hellboy. I liked the Golden Army. I kind of liked the whole franchise. So I'm really looking forward to it. And then I read some of the reviews today and it got fucking panned.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up. That was the one thing. I forgot to write it down. We have to talk about Hellboy. Currently sitting at a 10% of Rotten Tomatoes. There's a whole different discussion that we could have that we won't have right now. But basically, Rotten Tomatoes Twitter kind of like savagely owned Hellboy. They counted up the meter all the way to 100, then shot it back down to 9%, which seems a bit aggressive. Like, it's an aggregate score, and I understand their point, and like, we do the same thing, but you can't really, I don't think you should be dunking on a movie. You should be encouraging people to still go and see it. The reviews are terrible. The sentimental father-son subplot is Hellboy at its most laughably absurd, highlighting the chasm between its script and its direction. It's 2 hours long, but feels like an eternity, lurching incoherently from one noisy set piece to another. Violence and vulgarity replace the humor and poetry of Guillermo del Toro's superhero films. This movie is getting some real ass reviews. And I am with you, Large, very disappointed if this does end up sucking.
And that 2 hours is long.
It's not great.
That's a long movie. That's almost longer than a CVS receipt.
There you go. I'm starting to get into it.
Closer.
Like Jeff is Sean Bradley right now, and Ken Jack and Large are just throwing me assists.
Nice reference.
Sean Bradley was a long player.
What do you call it? The one part of that review or snaps you just gave, Jeff, I don't like is them saying, like, what did they say? Like the poetry and subtlety of the Guillermo del Toro Hellboy. Like the original Hellboy was not a great movie, like by any means at all. Like Hellboy 2, The Golden Army, not bad at all. But Hellboy 1 had a fair share of problems script wise and like tone wise.
The review from The Consequence of Sound. Oh, this is so mean. David Harbour's candor, frumpiness, and big boy get still managed to leave an impression through the pounds of latex. I don't know. Oh, man, that seems really
personal. I think we're just older, and we're not looking for a Hellboy. We're looking for a Hellman. So maybe they should have evolved the series a little bit.
Oh, man.
I hate myself. I'm just horrible. I'm just worthless.
All right, that's it for news. It's time to review Shazam. I didn't pull up my synopsis. I thought I was going to be able to do this without pulling one up, but now I'm going to pull one up anyway. DCEU movie, kind of, because the movies are supposed to not all be completely connected anymore, but this one is connected. Anyway, stars Zachary Levi as Billy Batson / Shazam, though the younger Asher Angel plays Billy Batson. Mark Strong in this. Dimmigen Hansu is in this, or Dimmigen or Digimon? No, Dimmigen Hansu.
Yeah,
he's in 9,000 comic book movies. He's in it. Like I said, Mark Strong's in it. He plays the main villain. Very interesting comic book movie. Unlike much that we've seen, especially in this new renaissance of comic book movies, we all have a superhero inside of us. That's corny. I wish I hadn't just read that.
But it's true.
Mine's Superman. He's in me right now.
It just takes a bit of magic to bring it out. In 14-year-old Billy Batson's case, all he needs to do is shout out one word to transform into the adult superhero Shazam. Still a kid at heart, Shazam revels in the new version of himself by doing what any other teen would do, have fun while testing out his newfound powers, but he'll need to master them quickly before the evil Dr. Thaddeus Savannah can get his hands on Shazam's magical abilities. Shazam, I gave it an 83, which I was pleased with it. There were moments I didn't love, and we'll get into why. And a lot of it has to do with structure for me, structure and length of what they did with some of it. But I did give it an 83. I thought it was very enjoyable for most of the movie. I thought the script was really good in spots. I had a couple of hearty laughs, and I thought Zachary Levi was very charismatic. We'll get into the suit, and we'll get into all the nonsense that went into the lead up to this movie. But in the end, I thought he was very charismatic in this role. What did you think, Trill?
75 for me. I enjoyed it. I going back to when we were ripping on this, when we first got those stills of him, you know, just walking around eating nachos, wearing the Shazam suit. This is way better than I thought it would be. And it actually is like a breath of fresh air. It's a nice, it's nice just to have a standalone movie that doesn't take itself too seriously, but also takes itself just seriously enough. Zachary Levi was great. I think, like, on the downside, you know, the script was okay. It just didn't feel like more than a 75 to me. It didn't have enough oomph. It was interesting. It was still a good movie. I'm buttering it. I thought in terms of kid actors, Asher Angel did a really good job. They could have, the movie could have like sunk or swim with like how good the kid is. So they did pretty good there. And the villain was okay too.
Yeah. I gave an 81. I think it was nice as the DC universe is sort of transitioning out of that like doom and gloom dark phase and into like this funny and upbeat stage. I think it's a really good sequel to Aquaman. Like, it's just funny and it's entertaining and it's interesting. Keeps you captivated. It's not like a dramatic storyline. It's just good. It's a little cliches at points, I would say. Like, it's not a story where you're going to question what's going to happen throughout it. Like, you know what's going to happen start to finish, and that is what it is. But I think as far as DC goes, it's a really bright spot, and I agree with a lot of what Trill said. The kid actors are pretty good. I didn't like Jack Dylan Glazer very much, but we'll talk more about why when we go into spoilers.
I gave it the lowest score. Am I going now?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I gave it a 73. I didn't like it as much as you guys did, and the reason I didn't like it, I didn't like Zach Levy that much, or Levi, however you guys want to say it. More like Snack Levi. I thought that he didn't. I didn't think that he was believable as even a. I know this wasn't a big comparison, Tom Hanks, the kid who played Tom Hanks, but I thought that the kid, if he was to blow up into somebody, it wouldn't have been Zach Levi. And I don't like the way he looked in his suit. I kind of like the way he was in Thor when he played Fandral. Like, I thought that was a good kind of heroish type thing for him. A little bit of a thin mustache and kind of a swordsman. I just didn't enjoy him so much. I didn't think it was a feel-good movie at all. Again, like, I took the three kids to it, and one of the biggest things that came up after the movie was how much of a piece of shit. Oh, wait, can we talk about this, the spoiler thing?
Okay, wait, pause. If you don't want Shazam spoiled, skip ahead right here.
To avoid spoilers for Shazam, skip to 108.17. They're making some nasty ass fish right now in guys' grocery games. One guy's got like seaweed around his neck. Hard pass. If I'm a judge on this right now, I'm saying, let me punt. Let me get a chicken or steak episode.
I thought that the biggest villain in the movie was, Billy Batson's mom. Like the way that when he confronted her and she wound up being like a real piece of shit. Like even we spoke about in the car more about how Servana's dad and Billy's mom were two of the biggest douchebags in the whole fucking movie. And there was a guy there with a fucking glowing eye who was throwing people out windows.
Yeah, that was intense. Mm-hmm. We talked about this morning. That was – what a brutal fucking kill. You're throwing your brother out the window.
There were a couple of legitimate jump scares in that movie, especially in the boardroom where he does that, you know, one very wicked thing, threw his brother out of fucking window. I thought those the gargoyles who were playing the seven deadly sins or whatever – I thought they could have been like they could have took a tip from Hellboy, like had some sort of, you know, color to them other than the red LED lights. I thought they kind of gave up on it, whereas like Gluttony really had that a McFarlane character look to him. But he had no moisture on him. Like it seemed like they were made out of, you know, some sort of some dull clay. So that could have been so much better. So I wasn't a huge fan. So 73 is where I'm staying.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. I think getting into the villain thing, let's start off with that. Villain, Mark Strong, very good actor. I liked him. But I thought, and actually this blossoms into my overall issue, and the audience gave it an 84 now. It was an 85 when we did our written review. It's an 84 now for the audience. I just thought there were too many moving parts that overstuffed the movie and distracted from some of the interesting stuff. I thought Mark Strong, there should have been more of a focus on him. I agree. I understand the reasoning for the mom. But I think there was too much time spent on it. Just have it be the mom left the kid. Just have it be they got rid of him. Like, I understand that storyline may be what they wanted to work in. I know the movie's heavily based off of Jeff Johns, who used to run DCU, his comic run of Shazam, which I don't know too much about it, but I just know that's what it's based off of. Did we need multiple carnival scenes? Did we need him to go to her door? I think he could have learned a lot in a more condensed way, because then he also had the Foster family... They wrote into the script to have them just leave, by the way, before that final fight. Like, just go look for them so they wouldn't be involved at all with the gargoyle fight. There were so many things, and even the beginning lead up was pretty long, and I get that builds Mark Strong's character, but it did take a while to get things going, and I think it kind of distracted from the good stuff. Like, I think the stuff that I would have liked that could have made the movie a whole was great. It was kind of stuff that felt extra, like the mom scenes, or maybe a little too much in the beginning, kind of building up, you know, who Mark Strong's character and who Zachary Levi's character were. So it was stuff that just felt a little over bloated. It was like too much exposition, right? That's where it kind of lost me.
It had the classic origin story problem where, you know, they knew they were going to do a sequel going into this because they announced a sequel 3 days later. So pretty much if this wasn't a bomb, they were going to do a sequel. So I felt like it was just they needed to force that characterization in there so they didn't have to work to set it up in the second one. And I think when you get an origin story, like that's why you get a 2-hour origin story movie, which is kind of tough now. Like I'm legitimately, and I think I've said this in Captain Marvel and to a lesser extent Black Panther, I'm having a harder and harder time sitting through origin story movies, even though they are new superheroes, just because I'm kind of tired of them. But at the same time, like it was different enough for me to appreciate it, and it was a different approach. And then they handled it in a way that was like more entertaining than your standard super serious origin story as well. But I thought like the whole mom thing was just like, you know, this is the character's like internal motivations trying to set up like an arc for maybe the second movie.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought going into it. I was like, okay, this movie's going to end with like him. He's going to come to terms with his foster family and they're all going to get along. And then it's going to be like a cliffhanger. Like, oh, we just found out like where your mom is. And like, then they're going to go and find their mom. Almost as like, kind of like how they didn't remember in Ant-Man 1, like they kind of set it up like, oh, maybe Van Dyne's mom's still alive. Like you can go and find him in the next one. So I thought that's what they were going to do. They didn't. And it's like you said, Jeff, kind of overbloated the movie a little bit. And I thought that took away from the movie. Something that annoyed me about this film, it felt like at least half of the movie took place during nighttime. And I don't know if I'm crazy for thinking that.
No, you're absolutely right.
I think maybe even more. And I don't know why, because this is like a very bright, funny, entertaining superhero. And all of it's taking place during nighttime. And I don't understand why. And it was very annoying.
It reminded me of The Predator at certain times. like not by anything other than just like a distracting number of scenes taking place at night.
Yeah, maybe it was same directed by, maybe it's more like Predators, directed by Shane Black, because it does take place during Christmas time.
I thought it was, it seemed like with the whole Christmas thing that it was one of those movies that release date was pushed off. Do you know if that's true? Like, it seemed like it was one of those things that was meant to be released around the holidays. Maybe it was at night because his suit had a natural glow to it. Like, that's one of the things I liked about the suit was the lightning bolt across the front. I thought that was pretty cool. Otherwise, I didn't have much need for the suit. The way that it fit his neck was awkward. Like, to think, he doesn't strike me as a jacked guy. And I didn't like his – I'll go back to his character because I'm not done shitting on him. I thought that he was goofier as a superhero than he was as a child. Like, oh, yeah. Like all of a sudden he became a superhero and he forgot that his mom left him or whatever. And then that whole greatest American hero thing where you don't know how to use your powers and then all of a sudden it just kind of clicks. I don't know. I've never found that to be – I'd rather to see some sort of training. I'd rather see Zach Levi – somehow with his shirt off to show that he's a little bit jacked as opposed to, you know, the guy from Chuck wearing a muscle suit, which supposedly he wasn't, right? They said that he got pretty jacked up for this.
A little padding. He did get jacked, but there was a little padding.
But like Superman is jacked and he's yeah. You know, he's like the girls all like to watch that. I didn't get that with that. Yeah. Like Shazam will never be on one of those Japanese pillows that you like so much.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, I would never get a Shazam Daisuke. Right.
And I thought that the movie was a little long. Do you agree?
It was.
How long was it, would you say?
It was about 2 hours.
Okay.
It was about 2 hours. It reminded me a lot of a CVS receipt.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh. I didn't even see this one coming. I did so many.
Starting to get more subtle.
I didn't either. Yeah.
Oh, fuck you, dude.
Fuck.
Oh, God damn it.
Two things. First off, starting. Fuck, man. I think that this movie was really close to being very, very good. Like, I really do think they weren't far off here. Like, I don't think it was kind of in the middle, like, that they made a very in-the-middle movie start to finish. Like, I just think there was a couple things that held me back from saying this was very good. I didn't love his – I found his brother annoying, which I assume that was the point of the character. I'm also pretty sure – like, I don't know why, and he looks like the kid. And I forget what that kid's been in before, but that kid looks like the kid from the show The Good Doctor on ABC, and I couldn't stop thinking about the fucking Good Doctor.
Fuck, that's a great point. I've never seen an episode of that show, but I know exactly what the Good Doctor looks like.
What's the, Jack Dylan Grazer? What is he? Oh, he was in It.
Yeah, that's what I said before.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the kid was just annoying. And I think it, like you were saying, Jeff, it's part of the purpose of the plot, right? Like, he has to be annoying. It's part of, like, the development of Billy Batson from being a dick to being, like, a loving foster kid or whatever. But it was just, it was over the top. Like, it could have been toned down, like, 50%, and the same point would have gotten across.
I mean, are you looking forward to seeing this guy fight Black Adam or whatever it is going forward? It's
mostly because of The Rock, honestly.
Right. Who'll probably fit the suit better.
Yes.
Yes.
Much better.
You won't even need a suit.
Like, but don't you think that'll be that's kind of uninteresting. It seems like that's going to be pretty lopsided. Right. And I'm going to like Rock's character a hell of a lot more than I like Zach the Snack.
And apparently Black Adam is going to be played up as more of an anti-hero to begin with.
Mm.
So it's not like
having your own franchise.
Yeah. Like, you're not going to have to make much of a leap to like him. It's hard for me to say I'm excited for Black Adam. But that's not to the fault of this movie. That's whatever. I mean, say I'm buying into, you know, the cinematic universe shit. And that's fine. Like, I fully admit that. But I didn't stay for the post-credit scene. I didn't care. I didn't care one bit. Because I know that they've already said most of these movies aren't connected anymore. They're not trying to do that as much. Like, I'll just watch it at some other point. And they didn't even tease Black Adam. They teased something that involves Black Adam. It was Mr. Mime, the fucking caterpillar or whatever. But I'm
a caterpillar.
The universe just doesn't have me amazingly excited, which again is not this movie's fault. It's more Warner Brothers' fault at that point.
I thought the most interesting part of it, I stayed for both of the, there was two post-credit scenes. The second one was just a little goofy joke, but I thought I was more excited when, and are we allowed to talk about what happened in the last lunch scene?
Oh, we're beyond in spoilers.
Okay. Yeah. So when Superman sat down without showing his head. And I guess in real life, it was Zach Levi's stunt double who was in the Superman suit, from what I understand, because he couldn't get the Superman guy in. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Like, that opened up something where that Captain Marvel with the Avengers and now Shazam with the, you know, with the Justice League, that was more interesting to me than, you know, the idea that the talking caterpillar is going to get together with the Rock and try to take over the world.
Trill, did you know who voiced Mr. Mind?
No.
You'd like this. It's Justin Long.
Oh, cool.
No, it's off.
How long is he?
It was Peter North is who voiced him, actually.
I liked it. Look, here's kind of my end takeaway. Like, I think DC's on a good trajectory. I really do. Compared to like what I thought about their movies a year ago, it's in a much better place. But ultimately, like, you got to hit home runs with Superman and Batman, or you're not going to get to a place where you need to be. And so while it's good to see them making, like, I really enjoyed Aquaman and I enjoyed Shazam. I think I enjoyed Aquaman more than Shazam, even though I forget what I gave Aquaman, just because Aquaman was more of a traditional movie. Like, and maybe this makes me simple, but my mind always goes to, like, man, it'd be nice if I could just get like a really cool Superman movie again, or like another Batman movie or a different Batman movie.
But again, that's the thing, is that I don't care about like their team. Like, I don't want to have to worry about Batman and Superman with these characters now. And that's why I guess the Black Adam thing doesn't excite me as much. Cause like, I would rather just worry about the Shazam thing, you know, like, I just want to worry about his movies now. Cause I do want to see him again on screen. I feel like we always do this. We always harp more on the negative than the positive, but there was a lot I loved about this movie. Like, I did, the look of this movie was a lot of fun. It popped. I thought the Shazam family was fun. I don't know much about it, but I thought that was a good time. It was fun that they added that to it. It was a nice element. I didn't totally see it coming. Now, granted, I'm not as much of in entrenched in DC as I am with Marvel. But again, I thought he was charismatic. I thought the one scene that we've seen a million times is that gas station scene. And I actually enjoyed it, even though we've seen it in the trailer so many times, just like his interactions. I thought he played the character very well. And maybe that's more the fact that I wish the kid would have been played differently. But I thought anything with him in the costume was good. And it did a thing that I don't think a lot of origin stories do well, and is that they kind of forced the powers on quick, where I felt like the way the character was played here, it almost made sense with how he like just got his powers eventually. Like, he was testing them out, like literally testing them out on camera. So that just kind of worked more for me than most origin stories, even though it did, again, have a bit of a problem getting off the ground, like, you know, we had recently with Captain Marvel.
It was basically Chronicle 2.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. I think the one thing I really liked about this is that it was a smaller scale. Like, Aquaman was obviously like a ginormous CGI fuckfest with like huge scale battles, everything like that. And this was like small, one-on-one villains, not a ton of SFX involved. And I think the special effects they did use worked really well. It didn't look corny. It didn't look fake. Like, it all just looked pretty real. And there's a giant fight in the middle of fucking Philadelphia, and it didn't look corny or cheesy. And the one part in that fight that I thought was really good was when him and Savannah like square up, and like Savannah's doing his evil monologue and he can't hear him because they're like a mile away from each other. I was like, I like laughed out loud at that.
Yeah.
Like, I can't hear you.
Anything that plays off cliches like that, I will always find funny. But you're right. Like, if we're going to get a lot of superhero movies, then at least it's good that we're getting different kind of superhero movies, or superhero movies with a different tone, or superheroes that are different from, you know, like Marvel superheroes. So like, I really do appreciate the differentiation. I think what it lacked just was like, they're just not there yet in terms of an overall compelling story that I'm dying to like really see the next installment of the character.
That's true. I think maybe one of my bigger hangups is, I agree with Jeff that the kid actor was not great, and and maybe it's not that he wasn't good. It's just, he wasn't as good as Levi, and their personalities didn't match up like at all.
That was my problem. What superhero movie is Shazam better than?
For me,
almost every early Marvel movie.
Yeah, better than the Thor franchise, Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3. It's right around there with Ant-Man, Captain Marvel. Those for me, Doctor Strange would have a little above it, but it's right in that pack for me, at least from my opinion.
From the DC movies, it's better than Justice League. It's better than Batman versus Superman. I don't know if it's better than the Superman movies.
Man of Steel?
Yeah, I don't know that.
I like it more than that.
I like Man of Steel a little more.
Yeah, so I
would probably put on a, like for me on equal footing as that, but with like the tiebreaker going to Man of Steel, just because I have such, you know, everybody, I think if you're like, everybody has an attachment to Superman of some sort, right? Like, I don't think there's anybody who like, maybe there's people that dislike Superman, but it's a small number compared to, you know, the people who like dislike Shazam just because of the character. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but like the character's iconic. What about Ant-Man? Like, where would you put this? Like, because I kind of, in terms of like the DC, even though it's not a universe, like I want to compare it to Ant-Man.
Yeah, I think it's a little above Ant-Man for me. My Ant-Man score has lowered a little bit over time, just placing them with Marvel. I think it's right around there. This one I had, they were both comparable. I think the humor too, actually. Let me just say that. The humor definitely played into it. I thought Ant-Man had some duds. This movie had some duds, but there were a lot of really good laughs and a lot of really good witty dialogue.
Well, Ant-Man, before the movies came out, was, for me, not being a comic book reader, was somewhat of a stupid concept for a character, right? Like, his name's Ant-Man, and he can shrink and expand. Okay, great. But then I saw the movies, and I was like, oh, that's actually pretty cool. And I can see where that power would be very, very useful. And Shazam was, like, a little of the same. Like, when you saw the trailers, it's like, okay, this kid turns into a superhero, and he's kind of goofy. But it works in terms of the movie, and I like really liken themselves to each other in their own respective universes, just because I have this association that they're both somewhat like the comic witty offbeat type character.
Yeah, and something, speaking of just characters in general with this movie and like witty and offbeat, is his family. His family was pulled like word for word from that Geoff Johns comics is based on, like even how they look, like the exact look of the characters. And again, I like the reveals of Shazam family. And did you notice who one of the family members was? Pretty well-known actor, but not as well-known as...
Yeah. Adam Brody?
Adam Brody was one of the Shazam grown up.
Yeah. The OC's Adam Brody.
Yeah, that's why I knew you'd like that. I would have rathered more time with them than with Large, your favorite character, the asshole mom. I would have rather those like understanding those kids a little more. And then seeing them grow up, because again, I thought that was a really cool part of the movie. It added an element and did something rather than just Shazam, like realizing he could punch a little stronger. So if I would have spent a little more time, that's probably what I would have spent it with. But again, Adam Brody also made me laugh, and I thought he immediately trolled because of the OC.
Asshole mom is Ken Jack's favorite paid website.
Yeah. If I type in A, that's the first thing that pops up on Google search history.
All right. Any last comments on Shazam here? I thought a pretty good discussion. What we liked, some things we would have improved. I think overall we had a good time with it. Just there were a couple things holding it back. But I mean, you would have told me a year ago that we would have given Shazam a 75 or above for the most part, I'd have called you a liar. Because this was tracking to be something we wanted to make fun of and hate, and we weren't able to do that. I will say my last comment. I went with Robbie. Half of our theater, the IMAX theater, this is the theater we're seeing Endgame in, my half, if I would have been blindfolded, I would have thought my half of the theater was empty, because the right side of the theater, hooting and hollering like it was the fucking Super Bowl, going crazy over every little reference. And my half of the theater, not a peep, no reaction, except the guy two seats down from me had a really weird laugh where he moaned while he laughed. I didn't love that. That was a bit weird, but yeah, that's my wrap up on that.
I wonder if Sheldon Cooper wears a Shazam shirt on Big Bang Theory.
Oh, God damn it.
That show has been going on forever.
Some might say too long.
You
ever watch Big Bang, Large?
No, I've never seen an episode.
Good.
Hell yeah. Even that. Welcome to the team.
Thanks, man. So Large gave it a 73. Troll gave it a 75. Ken Jack gave it an 81. I gave it an 83. Audience gave it an 84 with their current final score. It'll change over the year. That is Shazam. All right, let's move on. Last but not least, top five worst comic book movie cost. Is that Sheldon? Did you just send Sheldon Cooper in a Shazam shirt?
I'm very happy to report that Sheldon Cooper is, in fact, wearing a Shazam shirt talking to what appears to be Kaley Cuoco in the hit television series, the long-running television series Big Bang Theory, produced by Chuck Lorre.
Jesus.
Thank you for that.
I got nothing else on that. Top five worst comic movie costumes. We're going to go Ken Jack, Large, Trill, myself, and then the audience. 5 through 1. Ken Jack started off fifth worst comic movie costume.
My number five is, and this is a little bit of a cliche one, but Deadpool and X-Men Origins Wolverine. Just an outrageous move to sew his mouth shut and give him the weird in-arm, like, fucking samurai sword katanas. Like, who the fuck thought that was a good idea? And it's been referenced a thousand times why it was so bad. Like, even in Deadpool 1 and 2, they've referenced how terrible it is. And it was just a huge, huge swing and a miss. And a movie that itself was a huge swing and a miss, with the exception of the opening scene with Wolverine and Sabretooth fighting through time, which was sick as hell.
Good pick. Yeah, oh, I think we'll have more on that later. Large, what's your number five?
My number five is Shazam. I didn't like it, the costume at all. I thought, like at one point, Mark Strong says to him, "Give me your powers. You're the perfect man," or something like that. And he looked at him. He looked like a character actor in a muscle suit. I didn't think the cape with the hood. If you're going to have a cape with a hood, you got to wear the hood a lot more. That was a misused thing. I wasn't crazy about the costume at all.
Yeah, you mentioned to me this morning, we were talking about the hoodie. Just
yeah, he had a hoodie and he didn't use it. He's a teenage kid. Stop.
You think he'd even like, he'd get frustrated at one point and just put the hoodie up on over his head just to kind of hide. You know, that's classic.
It didn't fit him. It looked like a Halloween costume.
Trill, number five, worst comic movie costume.
Number five for me is Apocalypse from X-Men Apocalypse. This is a very sad looking costume. We love Oscar Isaac, folks. Like, we love him, but this looks like cosplay. This looks like San Diego Comic-Con cosplay to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's on my list, so I'll just get it out of the way now. It truly looks like somebody who dressed up at Comic-Con, and it looks nothing like the it kind of resembles the character, but it doesn't look like what the character should look like from the comics. Like, I get what they're going for, just a complete swing and a miss. And a great example of the X-Men franchise just finding a way to fuck things up even when they're doing things that are successful. It did not work. It looked so fucking weird.
The scale of Apocalypse in the comics looks to be so much larger than he appeared in this movie too.
He was a small man.
So it was like, even outside of the way it looks, and I'll send you this screenshot. Cause I mean, it was just, the makeup was weird. The color scheme was weird. I don't think I don't think it's bad to go big and like make things look outlandish. I don't think everything needs to look like a sleek piece of machinery from Destiny video game franchise.
Yeah, he's supposed to be, he almost looks like a robot. It's supposed to be this insane, giant, most powerful thing of all time. And he looks like, you're right, looks like fucking Doug from Santa Ana drove down to San Diego Comic-Con and dressed up in blue paint, like fucking Tobias Fünke. Just not good. Yeah. It's a bummer.
And this weird frown painted on him too, like he's like a clown or something.
Yeah, it does. Looks like a fucking clown. All right, good pick. My number five is Quicksilver from Avengers Age of Ultron. I think both Quicksilvers aren't great, but I just, for a universe that has pretty decent costumes with the MCU, the Aaron Taylor Johnson Quicksilver looked like he just went to the Nike factory outlet and just picked up like some running gear.
It's like
and
a wetsuit.
Yeah, it always just, but like, I don't believe that Hydra would have dressed him up like that. I don't buy it. I don't know why. It doesn't make total sense to me. So we might see him in Endgame, by the way. I feel like there's a chance you see Quicksilver at some point in Endgame because they are going back in time. All right. Audience, number five, worst comic movie costume, Mystique. Mystique, who Which is in one? Different – I guess all of them. I'm going to just assume all of them. You have – the first one, you have the overly rubbery, then you have the one that looks good. Now you have this one from the new X-Men Dark Phoenix, which I know, Large, you're very excited for that movie.
Oh, God.
Very, very.
She's the least interesting person in that trailer, and she has her own movie.
Yeah.
I can't figure it out. Next movie about the kid with the crutch.
Hold on. Let me go back to something. Can we talk about how that movie Shazam shames handicapped people more than any movie I've ever seen? That was bizarre, right? Wasn't that a little over the top? I mean, those two bullies hit him with their fucking truck.
Yeah. And then they hit him with his own cane.
That was so weird. Him getting hit with the fucking, I mean, they would be in jail. I mean, that's, he ran him over with their fucking car. handicapped kid. And then they were all laughing at the end of the movie. That was just very – that stuck – I mean, I didn't take points off for that. It was very fucking strange.
The parking situation in those Philadelphia schools makes no sense to me. How do those kids constantly have the best spot in the school? They park there every day.
It's crazy. Shazam, man. I don't know. Yeah, Mystique. And now the new Mystique, Jennifer Lawrence, looks like it was just like chalk. Like somebody put chalk on her and then painted some black stripes. Bad luck. That's a good pick. Trill, number four, worst comic movie costume.
Mine's the Riddler from Batman Forever.
Ooh.
I don't think I hated Jim Carrey in this one because it was very Jim Carrey, and like I like Jim Carrey, but they really did not shy away from stealing that Matthew Lesko dollar sign question mark suit look. You guys know who I'm talking about? The guy who was on
infomercials. Fucking Matt Lesko. My God. Now
I think Rumble. He had. I think it, I don't. I can't remember if it was dollar signs or question marks. But
question
he had that,
marks.
He had that suit with question marks all over it, and that's essentially what you got with this costume. And then to top it all off, they gave him orange hair. Just why not? Just give him orange hair because orange and green go together.
Do really Jeff, tweet out a picture of Matthew Lesko. That'll be our cryptic tweet for the this episode.
Already looking it up.
it's an interesting suit. He almost looks like Joe Namath a little bit, this guy, except for the weirdo glasses. I like that fact, though.
Matthew
Lesko.
It's
free money.
Free money.
It's free money.
To pay your bills. Damn. All right, I'll tweet that out. All right. Large. Wait. Large is next? Why did I go to Trill? I fucked that order
up. Are you sneaking it?
Large, you're up next.
Number four for me was Oscar Isaac again with the apocalypse thing. Mm-hmm. So and the main reason was those frown lines that you touched upon, Trill. I mean, he looked like he's the type of guy who wanted to take over the world, but first he wanted to speak to a manager. Like he seemed like one of those guys that was disappointed in the temperature of the soup. I love Oscar Isaac. You guys have a big hard on for him here too. I have an equally big long hard on, like a very long one.
Very long.
Yep. that whole thing did him a disservice.
It looks like he came in wearing street clothes and then he walked into a trailer for makeup before the screen test, and it was for Alice in Wonderland by Tim Burton, and he got the facial makeup done, and then he realized he needed to be over at the X-Men lot, and by that time they're just like, it looks okay.
Yeah, like I think Thanos, they did a nice job with Thanos. Like I thought it could be like a comp to that, obviously, the way that they're set up, but they really missed the mark.
They knew they had to do CGI with Thanos, and even then, they weren't afraid to go back on the CGI and make it better, because he had, he does look a little weird in the Guardians appearance.
I'll tell you, for as much crap as people gave Thanos the look in the original trailers, when that movie came out, it really did look fantastic. Like it looked as real as a big purple alien could look. Pretty good. Yeah, Apocalypse, that's my number four as well. So we'll skip over me. Ken Jack, what's your number four?
My number four is Green Lantern. The CGI suit that they gave Ryan Reynolds looked like dog shit. And like I get the thinking behind it. Like you don't want him to be wearing a rubbery suit for a movie like this because he's going to have to do so much special effects anyway. But God, it just looked terrible. And what year was that? Like 2011 or something like that? That for that time, that movie looked like shit, and that suit was like the pinnacle of how shitty all the special effects were in that movie. God, it's terrible. Thank God. Another back-to-back Reynolds picks where he really got fucked over and then referenced it in Deadpool.
He truly did. He really did get fucked over. Audience number four, Mr. Freeze. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Mr. Freeze from Batman and Robin. It is bad. It's not great, Bob. All right, Ken Jack, you were supposed to be up. So here you go. Number three. What's your number three pick?
My number three is Two-Face, Tommy Lee Jones and Batman Forever. The facial prosthesis, whatever aside, which looked terrible. The clothing choices were just so over the top, like corny. I just didn't like it at all. He was like half Wolf of Wall Street and half White Coke. Like it looked fucking terrible. It was awful.
I kind of liked that. I kind of liked it.
But you like Carrie? You didn't like him, but you. The other way around, you didn't like Carrie, but you liked him?
I don't know. I kind of liked it in the same way I liked my grandmother's living room decor. You know? No?
No.
That didn't land? No? Okay. Well, I mean, CVS receipt.
Yeah.
I mean, Two-Face to Face, it looked bad at the time. And then when you saw how they did in The Dark Knight, where even if you didn't love it, at least they gave it a way where it looked somewhat realistic. It was so fucking stupid. I mean, Joel Schumacher, those movies, stinks. And I love how much Tim Burton hates Joel Schumacher, too.
Do you have the quote of Tommy Lee Jones talking about Jim Carrey, where he's like, he hates him because of the set of Batman Forever? He's like, I will not suffer your buffoonery any longer, or something like that.
He said, where is
it? I want to say it's that. I think it's like, I will not be a party to your buffoonery.
the headline here, it just says, Jim Carrey recounts the time Tommy Lee Jones told him, I hate you. Just straight up fucking, I hate you.
My favorite Tommy Lee Jones fact is the fact that he went to Harvard.
Oh, did not know that.
He was hallmates with Vice President Al Gore.
That's right. That I didn't know, actually, for some reason.
Said, I was really looking forward to working with Tommy, but he was a little crusty.
Well, speaking of my love pillow, geez.
Oh, here's the quote. Okay, here's the whole quote. I went over and said, hey, Tommy, how are you doing? And the blood just drained from his face. Carrie tried to salvage the situation, but Mr. Lee Jones was not having it, eventually telling Carrie, I cannot sanction your buffoonery.
You can't look Tommy Lee Jones in the eye.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
True. It's like a dog, you know, like you don't want that. You don't want those problems. So that was his first mistake. Second mistake, just watch The Fugitive. You can't fuck with Tommy Lee Jones.
Mm. Oh my God.
Poor No Country for Old Men.
Oh, all right. That was a good laugh. Large number three, worst comic movie costume.
Alicia Silverstone in Batman and Robin. Oh. Like, they made such a big deal about the nipples on Batman and Robin, and yet they left them off of her. Like, there was some nipple confusion in her costume, and I read about it in 1997 when the movie came out, and it's all that I can concentrate on. I think they did a bad job, and it's not from a sexist point of view, but I just like how the two dudes both had like very defined nipples, and then she was sitting next to him with, you know, when she was a Barbie doll, right? She had just, you know, yeah.
They gave her fucking high heels too.
Yep. Yeah. So it just didn't hit. There's a lot of things wrong with that movie. We've gone over a couple of them so far, but I don't like the way they handled her nipples. Can I say that?
Yeah, you can say that. It's perfectly. Yeah. I mean, when it comes to the bat suits, the nipples is the most famous thing. Right. Which, again, shout out to Joel Schumacher. I mean, an absolute fucking fumble—the greatest fumble of the ball of all time with fucking with the Batman movies.
Did Batman have a butt crack in his suit, like a really well defined butt crack? Because we know, like, Batman had bat nipples, but
I think he did, and a very, because in Batman and Robin, remember, all of a sudden, on their way to get Mr. Freeze, they have these brand new ice-accented suits, like with these silver lining, and Batman had this silver bulge, basically.
Yep.
Yeah, the cod pieces were very defined. It was like a cameo video.
Joel Schumacher.
I want to email Joel Schumacher and be like, can I get a view of the bat suit from the back?
Let me hit it from the back real quick, Joe Schumacher.
Trill, number three.
I'm going back to Deadpool from X-Men Origins. And this is my favorite thing about this is they so shamelessly copied the design of Baraka from Mortal Kombat 2 into this character. But they, instead of having big teeth, they just sewed his mouth shut. But he had, like, everything else was very similar to Baraka, from having no hair to having the arm blades. And it, you know, not that I loved Deadpool at the time, but going back and looking at their version of Deadpool is pretty ridiculous.
Baraka did have a very roomy mouth, though.
Baraka is a terrifying Mortal Kombat character. And Melina, too, she wears the mask. She has Baraka's teeth as well.
Oh, yuck.
But she's dead. She's dead in Mortal Kombat canon. So, like, rest in peace, Melina.
That's a really good pick. It's going to be on my list eventually. My number three already was said. Ken Jack said it. Green Lantern, CGI. Just terrible. Just in hindsight, one of the worst decisions ever made about a comic book movie. You could almost argue that was worse than Deadpool. I'm not going to argue, but you can make that argument, and I wouldn't hate it because it just looks so ridiculous. The audience, number three, they picked Jared Leto, Joker.
That's interesting.
I don't despise it, but it wasn't great. But it did get a lot of votes.
The promo stills, the screen tests for the Joker were way more ridiculous than the movie ones, where they just focused on the damage tattoo. But in the movie, I didn't mind the costume. I think I quite liked it. The big thing I hated about him was his haircut.
Yeah, it was too slick almost.
Yeah, it was just very, very slick. I think in terms of Joker character design, the thing they really nailed the most with Heath Ledger, that the two things they did really well with his actual costuming was his like greasy, gross, long hair, and then his like rubbed off makeup that progressively got more rubbed off the more they got into the movie.
Thought it looked good. I see where everyone's getting mad about it with the damage thing, because that was the worst part of the entire costume. But I don't think the rest of his costume was terrible. Like, his look was scary. It was scary as shit. And yeah, I guess that's maybe not necessarily the idea, but that was the direction they went in.
And that Michael Scott season one hair. Slick back green.
Season one, Michael Scott was basically bald. That's before Steve Carell got hair plants or implants, whatever.
He's still slick. Slicked him back.
Slick Willie. All right.
Did you just say Slick Willie?
Yeah.
What does that relate to?
I don't know.
I didn't know if I missed.
All right. Ken Jack.
My number two, right? My number two is Catwoman. I'm sure this is going to be on a couple of your guys' lists as well. It's not on your list.
The Halle Berry one or the Michelle Pfeiffer one?
Both, but Halle Berry specifically is the one.
Oh, for sure, Halle Berry.
They had way different costumes.
Oh, well, I think both are bad, but in this case, Halle Berry was significantly more terrible. It was just awful. The weird midriff, all the cut up on the leather pants and everything. And then the hat or mask, whatever you want to call it, it looked like a BSDM thing, and it just didn't like it one bit. And that movie, God help it's and whoever is involved in it, but it was terrible, and that costume design was a big part of it.
Essentially wearing a fucking bikini is what it boils down to. Large number two.
Colin Farrell as a Bullseye in Daredevil.
I was hoping somebody would bring up Daredevil.
Yeah, because that had a couple of misses with Elektra and whatnot. But Colin Farrell, it was like, and you remember the original Bullseye, he had like a bullseye on his head, the piece on his head. But they decided to go on a more Charles Manson route and give him the bullseye scar, which makes it pretty impossible for him to go unnoticed by the police, I would think. And then otherwise, he just had like on a long leather duster jacket and leather pants and a black tank top. It's almost like they gave up on him. So they just said, hey, why don't you go pick your own shit out from the costume closet. So, and they shaved the guy's head, and the guy's so fucking handsome. And, shaving your head never really works, right?
Everything you said about his fit made me like him 10 times more.
Giving a character a scar, we've talked about it, is just the easiest form of comic book characterization. And this is also something they did in Shazam as well, with the villain. Because I don't know if the comic book character one had the messed up side of his face.
I actually don't think he did. He looks a lot different in the comic books.
I was just saying, it's an easy way to make someone like look evil. Just give him a like disfigured face, like Two-Face, any of these guys.
And but
Daredevil had a lot of like leathery costumes. Ben Affleck's costume was like a jumpsuit.
And don't forget, Colin Farrell had six small hoop earrings in his left ear too. As
Bullseye. Oh.
Yes, he did. Oh, yeah. Number two for me.
That's a really good pick. Oh, my God. The fucking scar. That's a plane. I might have to watch it on the plane. What a bad movie.
Rest in peace, Michael Clark Duncan, though.
Yes.
Big, big rip.
He's awesome. He was so fucking great.
He's very long.
Yeah. Trill, number two.
Number two for me is the Electro from Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh yeah,
I 100% agree. That was terrible.
Let me pull up a picture. Just I haven't seen it in a while, but I know I didn't like it when I saw it. I thought that whole character was a huge disservice to Jamie Foxx. He just wasn't. They tried to make him a sympathetic villain, and he just wasn't a sympathetic villain because it was just written so elementary, like
very shallow character development,
just very shallow play for sympathy. And then just the CGI on his face when he actually was like transformed into Electro didn't look all that great. So I thought that looked a little ridiculous. And so that was my worry with Mysterio coming up on Spider-Man Far From Home. But it looks like they're handling that really well, because that looks like it could be an easy one to screw up. He's essentially wearing a fishbowl on the top of his head.
They just leaked a picture of Mysterio on a bag of Doritos. We tweeted it. as all comic book things leak on food packaging. That's a very good pick. Electro was not good. Just looked weird.
Look at this Electro Halloween mask. Isn't that a horrifying mask?
Fuck. That is gross.
Looks fucking terrible.
It's terrifying. They tried to go for a terrifying character. I think this is where they tried to ground it, and they tried to ground it too much. You know, they tried to make it look somewhat realistic, but I think you got to do like what you're doing with Mysterio and just make him look ridiculous, and it looks cool that way.
Yeah, people are buying into that. My number two, it's a group of four people, and that is the 2014. It's the new Fantastic Four. The thing looks terrible. Mr. Fantastic, the suits are bad. What's her name? Sorry, blanking. Kate Mara. They had the reshoots, so some of her costume is a different wig than earlier in the movie. It was a fucking disaster. That movie, top to bottom, was terrible. The thing looked a million times worse than the Michael Chiklis thing, which some people didn't even like the Michael Chiklis thing. It's brutal. Fucking brutal. That Fantastic Four movie is one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life, period. Not even just comic book movies. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen, ever. All right. Number two for the audience. You guys aren't going to like this one. This is going to upset you guys. Kelsey Grammer, the Beast from X-Men.
I agree.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. He looked like Kelsey Grammer.
It does look like Kelsey Grammer.
In this house, we stand Kelsey Grammer.
And never forget that Ted Danson played Hellboy. That's a fact. People forget. Ted Danson definitely played Hellboy. Yeah, the Beast, the Kelsey Grammer Beast. He was also in the new one, too. He made a cameo. The Beast, actually, the Nicholas Holt Beast was number six in the list from the audience. The audience does not like Beast.
Looked like very Blue Frazier is what he looked like.
He did. Yeah, fucking Blue Frazier.
Oh, Niles, we must get back to Xavier. He's going to be so mad. We forgot his 84 Chianti in the back of the Prius.
Oh, baby, I hear Professor calling.
Fuck, I was about to do that.
I got you.
You pig. Frasier has left the building.
Ken Jack, number one, worst comic book movie costume.
My number one worst, I just sent another Electro mask, by the way, in the chat. My number one worst is Spawn. Spawn is the absolute number one, no holds barred worst. The cape design and that, I don't know who was behind it, but it must have been a team of people that were like behind 1989 like video games, because it looked like dog shit. It was terrible. It had that weird belt that came out and like I think like stabbed somebody or something, but like the CGI behind it was atrociously bad even for the time period. And there's one scene where Spawn actually goes to hell, and I think that is the singular worst special effects I have ever seen in my life relative to the time period it's came out. And that was just awful. Bad movie too in general, but it's just terrible costume.
It's awful. Awful, awful, awful. But they're making a new one with, ironically, it's Jamie Foxx, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's two of the last couple picks, all related. Large, worst comic movie costume.
1987, Dolph Lundgren as He-Man. I don't know if anyone saw this movie, but with the He-Man character, you had like a gay icon with a Dutch boy haircut, an exposed chest, and like, you know, a loincloth. And they gave Dolph Lundgren a mullet and black leather straps, and they just missed the mark. They could have done a really good job, and they didn't.
I mean, you just made me like him again. You did the same thing with Colin Farrell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Sounds sick as hell again.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, Dolph Lundgren's character in Aquaman looks more like He-Man than he did when he was in He-Man.
Ooh.
Yeah, there you go. So, that's my number one. I was a big He-Man guy, too. Grayskull.
He's getting casted out as Noah Centineo right now.
Who's it? What's that?
They've been talking about casting this guy, Noah Centineo, from as He-Man. Swear to God.
Cool.
Not gonna be good. You should look him up. You won't like this guy.
Large gonna text us more like, hey, can I come on next week to talk about Noah Centineo? Big fan.
Because I fucking hate his gut.
Kendrick despises him. Trill, worst one. Worst comic movie costume.
Can I just give an honorable mention right now?
Yep.
The worst costume ever in movie history is Sean Connery from Zardos. Okay. Like, if you haven't seen it, look it up. It's Zardoz. He has a long ponytail and he's basically wearing the Borat bikini.
It's terrible.
He's got a bandolier over him and a revolver in his hand. And thigh high boots as well.
Is that the shot? He's in the desert, right? Like, yeah. With hip kick to the side, almost like it's like Sophia Loren.
Yeah.
I love that.
And, he looks good. I got to say, he looks good. My least favorite, which I think is going to be controversial, but it just didn't really like it in this movie, is Bane from Batman and Robin.
I don't hate that pick.
The reason I say this is because that's closer to the comic books and the animated series than, let's say, the Tom Hardy Bane ever was. But just knowing they went through the transformation process where, like, it's just this guy, this tiny guy in a little costume, and they pumped him full of these chemicals, and then he just becomes this big, weird green dude with these tubes in the back of his head. I didn't think it looked good in that movie. I like the way he looks in the comics. I like the big luchador mask. I like that. I have no problem with that. It's just, I feel like this movie did not handle it that well.
And just like the fucking Nike pump it shoes button in the fucking middle that you hit to activate him. You ever forget he was a fucking like felon, like a murderer, like mm-hmm. just a piece of shit. This is like a terrible all around guy. But yeah, his costume, I didn't love it either. You're right. Even though it was kind of similar to the comics. My number one's Deadpool. I mean, they taped shut the Merc with the mouse mouth. I mean, that's all you got to say. Yeah. There you go. Mouse. Good lisp. It was terrible. It's still the worst. It still gets made fun of. Just embarrassing looking. And I think maybe like one of the linchpins that got people to stop trusting Fox, even though they made a couple good X-Men movies after that. Audience number one, I had to combine them because there were so many votes for all of them. And that was Batman and Robin, just all the costumes from Batman and Robin. So the Batman team up, the bat nipples, the no bat nipples, the crotch shots, the butt cracks, I guess, all of it.
I don't know if there was a butt crack, but I want to think there was.
The bat crack.
Batman and we'll look it up. Batman and Robin costumes. But yeah, that was number one for the audience. It was a good list. Those are all good lists. I probably shouldn't just search Batman and Robin costumes. I searched that as if I get what I wanted to see. It's just Halloween costumes. Chris O'Donnell's costume from Batman Forever was pretty fucking bad as Robin. It was that it was like kind of similar to his circus costume. It had the collar. That was a really bad costume. I know it was the futuristic version of the TV show one. Very bad. So that's it. Anything before we go here? Any last words? Large, please feel better.
Yeah, thanks for your patience with my voice. I apologize.
Are you going to go see Hellboy this weekend?
Yeah, I think I'm still going to see it. I'm going to take the kids, go see that. Apparently that piece of shit, but.
I'm not seeing it this weekend, so I eagerly await your thoughts. I'm very excited to see you think about it.
I'll be back.
He's going to go watch To All the Boys I've Loved Before, so we can learn more about our boy Noah.
No, I just looked him up. He's a handsome looking guy, but he shouldn't be He-Man.
No, you should go look at his Twitter. You'll love him.
Okay,
I will. I just hope Hellboy starts running with the Rotten Tomatoes advertising campaign. It's like, the critics hate it, but the viewers love it.
Go to hell, critics.
I'd be all in on that. Next week, what the fuck? We're reviewing Hellboy next week.
Hell yeah.
We're reviewing Hellboy next week. We have big news next week. After that, I think we're reviewing, let's see, what are we reviewing? Let's see. We have Hellboy review next week.
The highlight. We got a long list of reviews coming up.
We do Hellboy next week, and after that, the cursed
CVS receipt.
Fuck yeah. Then the curse of La Llorona. Of course, that's what the fucking commercial says. So please don't yell at me. However, the week of the 25th, we do have something special coming out that week. There will be three forms of content that week. I will not say what it is yet. And then the week after that, the Avengers Endgame with Mr. Sunday Movies. That's that. For Ken Jack Trill, our special guest, Mr. Large, I'm Jeff Lowe. We will talk to you on Sunday.
Have a good week at the box office. We could be more than just part-time lovers.
up from the underground. I don't need my drugs. We could be more than just part-time lovers. I can feel your touch picking me up from the underground. I don't need my drugs. We could be more than just part-time lovers. From the underground, yeah. I don't need my drugs. We could be more than just part-time lovers. Mind to rest.